for just your grace towards us and the miracles we see you doing in our lives, the big ones and the little ones, the daily ones. And just help us to appreciate just the grace you give to us and the miracle that life is, the miracle of every day. And we lift up these three people, Shaul in the hospital with the heart problems, and Jeff with now diagnosed with a form of lymphoma, and little Jacob with Crohn's disease. We lift them to you, Father, for your healing touch, that not only you be active in their lives and in working in their lives to heal and to strengthen and to get them going in the right direction with treatment, whatever, but they would be aware that it's you. And it was not just enough that you work in their life, but that they're aware that it is you working in their life and that Christians are praying for them. And we just thank you for that and hold them up to you for your grace. Again, we thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Okay, we're in Luke chapter 17, and down in some fun stuff, down around verse 20. Get towards the end of Luke, and Jesus starts talking about stuff. And one day, the Pharisees asked Jesus, "When will the kingdom of God come?" Yeah, it's a loaded question for you. Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, 'Here it is,' or 'It's over there.' The kingdom of God is already among you." I don't think that's the answer they wanted. You know, I mean, I think we'd all like to have some vague idea of what the future holds. And I would guess that most of us, if we were to go back a few years and think about this year, you know, 5 years ago, think about this year, we would not have guessed what all the stuff that has happened, you know, and what's going on. And just we also want to know. I mean, it would be. I just keep thinking of, you know, the movie Forrest Gump, and there's a point towards the end of the movie when his friend Lieutenant Dan. You know, he gets this letter saying, "You don't have to ever worry about finances anymore." He says, I guess he invested our money in some kind of fruit company, and it was Apple. you just wish you knew what was going to happen in some of these companies and all that kind of stuff. The Pharisees, lo and behold, wanted to know the timetable of God's kingdom, of when God's kingdom was going to come. Yeah. And this could very well be the most honest question they asked Jesus. I mean, all the time they talk to Jesus, it's trick questions, trying to trip him up. This is probably the most honest question. They wanted to know when the kingdom of God was going to come. You know, that was something they were firm about. But when they talked about God's kingdom, they were talking about an external political kingdom. Their thought of kingdom was a kingdom like David's kingdom. You know, their thought of when God's kingdom come would be when is the Messiah going to come and kick these stinking Romans out, and we're going to have a kingdom, you know, God's kingdom here in Israel. And the Jewish people had been waiting for God's kingdom with that in mind. For centuries they had been waiting. And so I don't think they liked the answer. You know, I have a paraphrase of it. It says, "You're not going to find this kingdom by studying books and signs. You know, it's already here. It's personal. It's in the hearts of men and women." They were missing this whole idea. Jesus had been saying over and over again, "The kingdom of God is here. You know, the kingdom of God is now." When Jesus was facing Pilate, and Pilate says, "They say you're a king." "Well, that's true, I am a king." He says, "But my kingdom's not of this world. It's not that kind of, it's not a political kingdom." That's why I almost offhandedly reject any system of Jesus coming back and establishing some kind of earthly kingdom for X number of years. That's not what he does. He's not going to rule on earth as an earthly king the way you think, politically controlling people. That's not going to happen. His kingdom is a kingdom of the heart and mind. You know, the kingdom has already arrived. And I was thinking about that. What is it? You know, the kingdom has already arrived. Jesus is already there. And I was thinking about it sort of like an election. As soon as the votes are counted, things begin to change. But significant change doesn't really happen for a couple of months until the people who are elected are sworn into office. Okay? And if you get that picture, we think of it this way. The vote was counted when Jesus rose from the dead. He's not sworn in till he comes back. No, I'm just using that as a picture. The kingdom of God is here, it's in our hearts, and all of that. But that ultimate victor, that ultimate thing in terms of the kingdom of God and all of his return, all of that, is sort of like that. And it's been a long time since that happened. And, we have to remember God's timing isn't the same as ours. They had been predicting the Messiah's coming to bring the kingdom of God to Israel for centuries. You know, for a long time, thousands of years before he actually came to earth, you know, and Jesus got here. God's timing is different from ours. We get a little anxious about his coming. You know, I can remember Valley Christian Church, you know, in the 60s, and all these things were happening, and, Jesus is going to come right away. I mean, it's here, it's going to come anytime, because it all got all these signs, you know, and that was in the 60s. Yep. Hadn't come yet, you know, so his timing, how he sees things, you know, and people get obsessed with this, and so you can read all kinds of books and have all kinds of charts and lists and prophecy conferences on when he's going to come back, and, you know, there's all kinds of schools of thought on what's going to happen and all of those kind of things. Because, you know, people want to know the future. They want to have some kind of context on it. Bless you. But Jesus says over and over again, no man knows the day or hour, you know. And that's right. But there are some people that think, okay, we don't know the day or the hour, but I think we can get within a month, you know. Or maybe a week, you know. And I think they miss the point. And I think a lot of times people miss the point because it's not so much a matter of when is this going to happen as much as it is, are you ready? I mean, Jesus says, it's going to be unmistakable. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, the time is coming when you will long to see the day when the Son of Man returns, but you won't see it. People will tell you, look, there's the Son of Man, or here he is. Don't go out there and follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other, so it will be on the day when the Son of Man comes. You know, first the Son of Man must suffer terribly and then be rejected by this generation. So there's things that have to happen before the Son of God comes, and Jesus saying, you know, got to go through the death, burial, and resurrection, all of that, before that even gets started. But, he says, you're not going to see it. Number one, it's going to be unmistakable. You know, you can be asleep in the middle of the night and have a major lightning storm, and you know it. You don't miss it. You know, it's going to make itself known. And that's important. You know, you know when it happens, you're not going to know when it's going to happen. But when it happens, it's going to be unmistakable. You know, and I can remember being talking to this one group, and I don't know what we were talking about. And then we got done, and this lady was talking about Jesus coming, and part of it was going to be sort of he was going to come and. Nobody was going to know. No, everybody's going to know. everybody's going to know, you know. And we just have to face the fact that, you know, we're not going to be able to, we can look at all of this, we can study all the prophecies, you know. What you have to do is the study of prophecy about the second coming of Christ is you can take, you ever play Boggle? You know what Boggle is? Boggle is this thing where you have this little container and it has some dice and all have letters on them. and you shake the thing up and you slam it down, and the dice settle into these squares, and I don't know, it was like 12 dice, and then everybody makes a list of the words that they can see with those letters. Okay. And studying prophecy is spiritual boggle. You take all the prophecies returning, or what you think concerns the second coming of Christ, and you write them on the side of a dice, and you get 24 dice with 6 sides to them, and you put them in the container, and you shake them up, and you drop that down, and then you look at what shows, and you can make a nice scenario out of what shows, not the other 5 sides, but just what shows, of how what's going to happen when Christ returns. Then you shake it up again and slam it down. See, all of the prophecy things about Christ's return, they all have things in common. Those signs are there that list out. Like Jesus says, nobody's going to know. You're not going to get this by looking at all of that, because those are all there, but how they go together, only God knows. And you have somebody tell you, this is what's going to happen, it's going to be this and this and this and this, you can be absolutely certain they're wrong. You know, because it's all there, but how you put it together is a little bit different. So, he said, and it's not going to happen. You know, we just have to face the fact. You know, when, like I said, when I was a teenager, man, we didn't have those guys come do these revivals, prophecy revivals at the church. Man, you just thought you weren't going to get to Wednesday. And Jesus was going to come back, you know. How many of you believe Jesus is going to come back? Everybody raise their hand. How many of you believe Jesus is going to come back tonight? Nobody raise their hand. Well, this is the perfect time, because none of you, I was like, oh, God. You know, it was that kind of a thing. And I was 15 and 16. And it's a long time ago. And it still hasn't happened. Okay. Now, the thing to remember is, that's not a bad thing, you know, because he's going to, come and get us individually or as a group. So if you're not there when he comes to get everybody as a group that's left, that means you're going to get to go individually, which is fine. But understand that we're not going to get that. And, Jesus basically said, you don't have to worry about missing his coming. When he returns, the whole world will know it. Like a bolt of lightning. You know, that's not only like lightning flashing, but the whole world's going to know, you know. You will not miss his coming. It is unmistakable. And it is unexpected. In verse 26, it says, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, people enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat and the flood came and destroyed them all. You know? What a graphic picture. You know, everybody was enjoying parties and banquets and weddings, you know, and then somebody said, hey, it's raining, and it was all over. You know? And he goes on, he says, the same day in the days of Lot, you know, people went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling and farming and building until the morning Lot left Sodom. Then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It is going to be sudden and it's going to be unexpected. Because we just keep doing what we do. We're living life. You know, we're just living life. And that's what he expects us to do. He expects us to go through life. And we do live our lives. But we're supposed to live our lives with a sense of expectancy, in a sense of this is going to happen. We need to be ready for it. But even if you're ready for it, doesn't mean it's expected. He uses the two pictures he uses are Noah and Lot. Now, with Noah, that took a little while. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, when's this rain going to let up? It didn't. You know, with Lot, it was boom. With Sodom, it was, you know, they got up that day, and it was just another day. On 9/11, there were 3,000 people who got up that day, and it was just another day. And they didn't survive the morning. It was just another day, just going to work, you know. That's the idea. Everything changed in a moment. And everything can change in a moment, can't it? You know, everything. Just think of this, you know, Jeff Spears, who, you know, thinks he has a sinus infection. He goes in and he has lymphoma. Whatever. Kathy was, we were sitting in Athena's that Wednesday night, and she was suddenly hurting and in pain. And we thought, well, what's going on? She had a little stomach problem. We went to the hospital, and, you know, her spleen is the size of her liver, and she has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Everything changed in an instant. See? And that's the picture he uses, in the sense that when Jesus comes back, even those who are expecting him to come back, even those who are ready for him to come back, are going to be surprised. Because you can't live in a mental state where all you're focused on is, he coming back? Is he coming back? Is he coming back? Is he coming back? You know? You're going to get up and, well, you know, I hope he comes today, but okay, I got to brush my teeth, got to, you know, well, I don't have to do my hair, but you have to do your hair, you know, but, and you got to go to work, got to do your thing, got to go, you know, and you got things, you got plans, things got to happen. I hope he comes today, but you got things, you know, I hope Jesus comes back today, but man, you got to cook breakfast. You see what I mean? You got to do. And he, you know, Jesus is saying, you guys, you know, you think this is going to be predictable? Number one, it's not what you think it is. Number two, you ain't going to miss it, and you don't know when it's coming. And that's pretty powerful. In a similar passage in Matthew 24, Jesus says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, I'm pretty sure that no matter who you read, and if they can put the timeline of Christ coming back and say, this is where we are right here, you know, they're wrong. It's a guess. I'm not going to say they're wrong. I'm just going to say it's a guess. That is the most it is. And I don't know where we are on that. But I do know there are conditions that set the stage. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, and he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, I think we're there. I think we're there in our world. I think the increase of wickedness is dramatic. The wickedness is more organized than we think. And the wickedness is irrationally hostile to the church. And that for most of us here, we'll probably get to live out our lives pretty much normal. For all of our children, they're going to experience persecution. And all the 30-somethings, they're in for a rough ride. They're in for a rough ride. We got a little reprieve now for a few years, but who knows if that'll stay afterward? You know, if that'll last 4 years or 8 years, if, you know, hopefully it'll make a big enough difference. But get a little reprieve for a while. Most of us we'll probably get through our lives without all having to deal with it. But our younger Christians they're not going to get through it. And probably this verse in Matthew is the scariest verse of all of them, because he's not talking to non-believers. He says, because of the wickedness of increase of the love of most will grow cold. And he's talking about the love of the Lord for most is going to grow cold. They're going to face this wickedness, persecution, they're going to grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. These are saved people who aren't going to get saved because they're going to face persecution and difficulties, and they're going to stop loving the Lord. And it didn't matter what they did. If they let their love grow cold because they're facing persecution or wickedness, you listen to that. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. Yeah, the biggest question maybe is, are we prepping these people for that? That's a sketchy question, isn't it? That's a sketchy question. As sin becomes more accepted by society and the church, faith becomes more superficial. And, Jesus warned we have to be diligent. So the second coming, you know, number one, you're not going to miss it. It's, you know, when it happens, it's going to happen, everybody's going to know. when it happens, it's going to be something that is, you're not going to miss it, but when it happens, it's going to be a surprise. Even if you know it's going to happen, even if you know, sort of like your family's going to do something for your birthday, and you sort of go through the whole day waiting for what's going to happen. But when it happens, you're still surprised. You know, shooting yesterday. I probably put a box of the 30-06 through Tim's rifle, and at first I was hitting the targets. But the 30-06 with that big round is a small cannon. And there got to be a point where I was anticipating the recoil, and I started to miss. Because I knew, man, this is gonna, Dennis wouldn't even shoot it. You know, he's like, no, that's okay. Linda shot a couple of shots, and she says, no, that's okay. You know, it's one of those that you're on the gun range, and it goes off, and everybody looks, what was that, you know? And it was like, whoa. But, you know, it takes you by surprise even when you're expecting it. Okay. It is also going to be inescapable. Listen to these verses. On that day, a person out on the deck of a roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return home. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. If you let your life go, you will save it. That night, two people will be asleep in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour together at the mill. The one will be taken, the other left. Those are pretty graphic pictures. Some of it has different applications. He's talking about when the kingdom of God will come. And, you know, if we look at this and put it in terms of rapture, I mean, if you ain't going to get a chance to go in from the field and go back home, okay? So he's saying that, so, you know, there's a reference there, and you could apply that to there. There's also an application of this to when the Romans came to destroy Jerusalem, you know, and when the Roman army showed up, you didn't have time to go back into your house, go back into the city and get everything. Jesus was warning them, and he does it in other places. When you see this happening, you get out, and you get out now, you know. But, you know, that idea, when you get down to two is sleeping in the bed and one is taking, one is not. Now we're talking rapture type stuff, and that's the idea that when Jesus comes back, he's going to take his church, and everybody else is going to face judgment. And you better be right with Jesus in your heart. You better be serving him from the heart. You know, and he says, that's scary stuff, you know. People who believe they're masters of their own destiny aren't going anywhere, you know. Because that's when, Jesus is going to separate the sheep and the goats. Those who are truly his and those who aren't. And that's, you know, it won't matter who you are. It don't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that relationship you have with God in your heart. And, and the disciples, asked this question, where will this happen? Now, do you see the difference between what the Pharisees asked and what the disciples asked? The Pharisees asked, when will this happen? The disciples ask, where will this happen? Jesus said, just as the gathering of vultures show there is a carcass nearby, so these signs will indicate that the end is near. Oh, thanks, Lord. That clears it up. See what I mean? He tells the Pharisees, say, when is this going to happen? And he goes, well, it's going to be this and this and this, and you can't see it and all this stuff. Where is this going to happen? Oh, come on, guys. If you see vultures, Jesus didn't help the disciples. I think he's like, aren't you guys getting this? You know? But Jesus never said anything
lightly.
All of his parables had meaning. All of his word pictures had meaning. The disciples, they asked, where is this going to happen? And, you know, again, they asked the wrong question, just like the Pharisees. But his response is a picture, isn't it? His response is a word picture. When he says, just as the gathering of vultures shows there's a carcass nearby, we all have that picture. Whether we've actually seen that or whether we've seen it in movies, you know, we've seen, you know, the, oh, look, there's the vultures. You go over there, you find the body. You think he used that picture arbitrarily? And when's all this going to happen? Well, that's an ugly, frightening picture. When is the kingdom of God coming? Well, you know, you don't know. Nobody knows. You're not going to be able to figure this out, guys. You know, don't try to figure this out. It's going to be unexpected. It's going to be, you know, you're not going to miss it. It's going to be unexpected. It's going to be inescapable. That's for sure. And the disciples are going, well, wait a minute. What about us? When will we know what's going to happen? Well, when you see that kind of death. Not quite sure what to do with that. That's a graphic picture and a nasty picture, you know. I think the biggest thing, you know, we can draw some conclusions, maybe that since Christ's coming is going to be unmistakable, I don't think we need to worry about it. I really don't. You know, I don't think we, you know, we can, you know, go through, we can study the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, we can put all those little jigsaw puzzles together and come up with all kinds of pictures. But one thing Jesus tells us is you're not going to miss it. You're really not going to miss it. It's not going to happen. And, oh, it happened? Did I miss it? You know? It ain't going to be one of these things where all these people disappear and everybody else is going, what happened to them? Where'd they go? It ain't going to be like that. He comes back. Everybody goes, no, this was Jesus' thing. And he'd come back. And because of that, yeah. Non-believers will even, you know, suddenly, oh, Jesus, we believe in you. It's a little late, you know. And in that meantime, there's going to be people who suffer for Christ. And it always has been, always will be, you know. And since Christ's coming will be unexpected, we should sort of live in a state of readiness. We should be ready for it, you know. How many major earthquakes have y'all been through? Just Northridge? Two? So most were the Sylmar quake and the Sylmar and Northridge, you know? Is there going to be another major earthquake? Just about everybody's going, yeah, oh yeah, I do, man, it's been 20 years. Are you ready? Do you have any preparation for that at all? Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's going to come. Question isn't going to come. The question is, are you have some preparation for when it comes? Or are you going to be caught flat-footed? See, that's the issue. See, Jesus is going to come. We don't know when he's going to come. We know it's going to come. Are we prepared? Do we have any kind of preparation for that? No, the preparation for living for Jesus is a little different because it has to do with our relationship with him. You know, it has to do with who we are and our desires and our love for him and how that reflects in our life. You know, it's not a matter of, well, I'm prepared. I go to church every Sunday. I'm ready for him. Well, you going to church every Sunday is absolutely meaningless. That's not what I said. That's not what Jesus said. Do you have a heart desire relationship with Jesus? Your life is going to reflect your heart. Is your heart, is all of that right with him so that your life, and if your heart is right with him, you will be going to church, but you're not going to sit there and go, well, I can go to heaven because I go to church every Sunday. You're going to go to heaven because I love the Lord and he's, you know, different thing. See, and we need to be sure we do that. And we need to,
think a little bit more about heaven, maybe. You know? We think a lot about this place, don't we? Everything is about this place. We don't think a lot about where we're going to spend eternity. And we might want to think that out a little bit. And just the beginning every day with a reality check. You know? I mean, you do that already, don't you? When you're ready to walk out the door, take a quick peek in the mirror. You may not be happy, but you're going to look. Make sure everything is okay. You're going to make sure you got your wallet, your keys, your purse, whatever. I mean, not too many people just walk out the door, get in their car, and the house is locked up, and so, you know, I don't know, my purse, my keys, or nothing. Well, how'd that happen? You know, we don't do that. We're ready. We're going to walk out the door. We're going to be ready. You do a reality check every day. Is today the day Jesus comes back? Am I ready for that? Did I talk to him today? You know? That idea, put it in a different realm. Think of those people on 9/11 or any kind of situation like that. Do you kiss your loved ones today? Did you show kindness to them and tell them you love them? Perhaps say you don't go home, what's the last thing they're going to remember you saying to them? And they're either going to remember the last thing you said to them or the last way you treated them. Are you ready for today to be the day? We're going to live by faith. You know, we're going to live by faith, and that's it. And we just have to, a lot of that's just examining our own hearts ruthlessly. Not examining everybody else's hearts, just our own. You know, making sure our heart's right. And we need to make sure if he comes back and takes his church home that we're with that group. That's one that, you know, I'm just thinking of the movie, what was the movie, 2012. You know, I don't know if you remember the movie 2012 when, you know, all that crazy stuff's going on. And they're about to take off from Washington, D.C., and they're waiting for somebody to show up. And one guy says, well, this is one plane he shouldn't have missed. And they take off, you know. You don't want to miss this plane, you know. That's the idea. This passage is tough. All Jesus' passages about his coming back are tough. They're tough because most of them have multiple applications. Because you have this intermixing of things related to when he comes back at the end of time to make everything right, intermixed almost every other verse with things that were going to happen when the Romans came in and destroyed Jerusalem. So you have these warnings, and they're all sort of, they're not, you know, let me talk about what's going to happen then, and now let me tell you what's going to happen in 40 years. And Jesus doesn't do that. It's just, you know, that's the way prophecy is, all the way to the Old Testament, to the New Testament. That's why you take all these prophecies and, you know, what's he talking about? He's talking about what's going to happen when Jesus came when he was born. He's talking about when Jesus came when he's alive. He's talking about what happens when Jesus dies. He's talking about what happens when Jesus comes back. You know, is he talking about what's going to happen to Israel when the Romans come and destroy them? Is he talking about what's going to happen when Israel's regathered together? I mean, Israel's regathered together as a nation. That's a big, big historical point. Are they a Christian nation that honor Jesus? Heaven forbid! So let's not read that much into that. You know, see what I mean? There's all kinds of sides to this. I remember in the 60s, there was a guy, Christian singer, and he used to sing this song, and the chorus was, I wish we'd all been ready. You know, I wish we'd all been ready. When Jesus came, I wish we'd all been ready. That's a big thing to remember. That's a big thing to remember. Not a matter of when. It's going to happen. The how is going to happen the way it's going to happen. Best we can do is guess. The idea is just being prepared. Do a reality check every day. You know, you got to do a reality check every day. You know, is this the day the Lord comes back? Am I ready to meet him? Is this the day I go to meet the Lord? He just comes back for me? Have I said, have I been right with my family and right with the Lord? Yeah, you can get so focused on this, you're missing the point. You know, and that's the danger of it. You get so focused on it that you're actually missing the point. Okay, you know, but are you ready? You don't know what it's going to be, but are you ready if it's today? Yeah. Yeah, who are you taking with you? This should be the greatest evangelistic tool we have. You know, second only to the fact that Jesus loves you and died for you. Is Jesus coming back? You can be ready for that? You know? Third is, you're going to die. Are you ready for that? Because if Jesus doesn't come back, that's what's going to happen. One way or the other, you're going to meet him. You know, one, that's you know, you keep it simple. He's going to come back, take all of us. He's going to come back, take us one at a time. You better be ready for that. I mean, if you're not going to live to the second coming, it is irrelevant. Because that means he's coming for you. How many of you remember the original Star Trek TV series? 3 years, three seasons. There was one episode. And they're on this strange planet, and this beautiful woman shows up, and she, you always have beautiful women, you know, just strange aliens, but always beautiful women, and she would say, "I'm for McCoy," but if she touched him with any length of time, it killed him, it destroyed his cells, and so she was like this weapon that was aimed at each person, you know. And it, once they figured this out, she would come and go, "I'm for Kirk," and everybody would, you know, protect him because she wasn't hurting anybody else, just him. See, it was just aimed at him. And so, you know, I just remember her, "I'm for you," you know. You know, are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah. Be more fun that way, I would think. I can't help but think, you know. You know, it's been a sobering week in a lot of ways. I can't help but think of a week ago Thursday, just 3 days ago, a week ago Thursday, sitting at the hospital, the pastor's breakfast, having a good time, listening to them talk about heart attacks, and sitting there with Art Doler on one side of me and Pastor Jim on the other side of me. And we were talking and having a good time. Pastor Jim's in heaven now. He didn't make it a week. I don't think he knew that. I remember sitting there talking to him. I don't think he had any clue. Now, I know him. I know he was spiritually ready. But we were sitting there listening to this nurse talking about heart attacks. Jim wasn't going, "Oh, yeah, that's me Sunday night. I'm going to be there." Nope. He had no idea he'd be in heaven 5 days later. Gotta be ready. A little crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for being with us today, and thank you for even these words that Jesus said, and you know, we can struggle with them or we can take them at face value and just understand that you want us to be ready in serving you. The best thing we can do to be ready for you is to be loving you and serving you every day in everything we do. And if we do that, we're okay. You know, we maintain our relationship with you, and we're serving you and telling others about you every day. And we're okay, you know. And we miss that and think we want to make it too complicated or too simple or too something. We want it to mean more. You just want it to be real. So help us to have that reality in our lives. In Jesus' name,